This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe and notify button and then get on the iOS podcast app. Get on there and you leave us a little rating or a review, and that helps boost the profile of the show. Another great way to support Going In Raw is by going to Patreon at patreon.com/Steve and Larson. We have a bevy of reward tiers there for your financial support. We reward you handsomely, or at least commensurate with your financial support.
It's great value.
We're also available at the Pro Wrestling Tees right now. Huge Black Friday savings. Look at this. Fun Wrestling's a place to be. That is not one of our shirts.
No.
Do not say that that is. We also got, hey.
Hey.
Like, you do this. Double all this. Hey. Look at that fine shirt. You're not me.
More cold water. We're shooting this on Monday. Cold water Larson shirts.
Hey, you're not me.
Should be up too, both of them.
You're not me.
Hey.
Anyways, great deals right there at the Pro Wrestling Tees for Black Friday.
Phenomenal deals. Best deals.
This is not just Going In Raw. This is Going In Raw View. This is where we review old wrestling stuff.
Yes, that time of the month where we look back at old wrestling shows, review them.
That's right.
Well, we watch them first, then review them.
Yeah. This month, we're doing Survivor Series, but it's Survivor Series 2003. We put three different shows up for a vote. Survivor Series 97, the Montreal Screwjob. Survivor Series 2012, debut of the Shield. And then we left it up to our $10 and up patrons to, throw out some suggestions for a third Survivor Series. And they went with 2003. Bunch of them did anyways.
Yeah.
And then we put that up to a vote, those three choices up for a vote, and they all voted for what they wanted.
Yeah.
It's turned into a revolt of sorts over there on the Patreon, Larson. But that's okay, because they're paying us. So
exactly.
That's good for them. They get what they want.
But it was also helpful, beneficial, at least in for me, in my mind, because I had not seen Survivor Series 2003 before. So this is a show I have not watched. I remember, I'm pretty sure I saw Survivor Series 2012.
Yeah.
I know I've seen Survivor Series 97.
Yeah.
So this gave me a new show I hadn't seen before, and for that, I'm appreciative.
New.
What are you looking at? I'm looking at the Fun Wrestling shirt.
It's a good design. You should be very... It looks even better because it's a high-contrasty recording we're doing.
Yeah,
right now.
Looks like you have actual metal on your chest.
Are you trying to look at the mirror image?
Yeah,
right,
I'm
here?
Trying to see if my reflection in
the
chrome lettering on the Fun Wrestling shirt.
Doesn't work. This is a fun show.
It was a really fun show.
I think, so around this time, I was kind of watching, kind of not watching. I think that me and Evolved used to watch together around this time, I think. I kind of remember some of it. I think I remember some of this stuff.
All right.
It was fun, though.
Yeah, it was a fun show.
Again, the great thing about these kind of shows, lots of weird.
Yeah.
Lots of weird stuff going on. Like Goldberg and Austin were around at the same time. Why didn't they ever get on? I know Austin had retired.
Well, I think he.
Five months earlier.
Well, I don't know if it was ever official. This is the show where he had to officially on camera retire.
Yeah, but he hadn't had a match since Mania.
I know the presumption was that he was done going into that match.
Yeah.
But this is where he had to actually.
But
officially...
still, they did. They never. I mean, I'm sure Goldberg was on Raw. This was post brand split, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it seemed like
yeah,
it. SmackDown was around.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, they had their own announced teams.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So they were both, Goldberg and Austin were both on Raw, right? I'm sure they crossed paths.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Austin was
Goldberg.
Well, Goldberg
debuted the day after WrestleMania 19. Yeah, 19.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So at that point, Stone Cold was already done.
Yeah, but then he came back as Sheriff. No,
yeah.
Sheriff or GM?
GM.
Yeah,
they were saying that he and Bischoff.
Sheriff was later.
Yeah.
At the end of the year, at the end of 2003, after the Survivor Series, he came back as Sheriff.
Yeah.
This was a very short-lived retirement for Stone Cold. Because
yes.
He came back as Sheriff, and then I think he just kept on doing what he was doing.
Yeah.
So there wasn't a lot of actual goodbyes here.
No.
It kicked off with Team Angle,
which was,
honestly, was basically Team Cena.
Because yeah, I know. He came out first, dropped a promo.
I thought it was Team Cena.
I know.
And his promo encompassed the entirety of Survivor Series, though. Because he talked about all the other matches you're going to see in his basic Thuganomics, word life, rap style. Very clever, John Cena.
Mm-hmm.
He was over. People liked him. He was babyface John Cena.
Yeah.
But very recent babyface John Cena. And even because I read a review just to see if there was any like interesting trivia here or there about it. And apparently the handshake and acknowledgement, the validation from Benoit at the end of this match sort of was meant to solidify Cena as babyface guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is before he won the U.S. title, before he won, obviously, the world title.
Yeah, that was 2 years later or a year and a half later. That was WrestleMania 21.
Yeah.
His first world
title. Well, and 20 was when he won the U.S.
title off of
Big Show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyways, yeah, but this was Team Angle, John Cena, Chris Benoit, JBL without his...
Well, he's still Bradshaw.
This was... Yeah, he was still Bradshaw as APA, but he had short hair.
Yeah.
It was like pre-JBL.
He's making the transition from Bradshaw, Acolyte Protection Agency, butt kicker.
Yeah.
To, what was his nickname he gave himself? The God of Pro Wrestling.
God of Wrestling.
Yeah, he was making that.
Well, he was like, you know, he's supposed to be the pro wrestling version of J.R. Ewing.
Yeah.
You know, oil man, apparently.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he apparently had some success
stock market. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah.
But it was a very Dallas-themed gimmicky.
Oh, it was, definitely.
You know, his theme music and all
that. Yeah. Didn't he used to have a show on
Fox CNBC?
Business one or of them. CNBC, yeah.
Yeah. Bob Holly was also on the team.
As was Kurt Angle.
And, of course, Kurt Angle.
And they took on Team Lesnar.
Which was like, it was so Big Show. It was just a bunch of freaking, like, Big Show, who was U.S. champion at the time. A-Train.
Matt Bloom.
Yeah, Albert. You know him from the My Career Mode.
Yeah.
And then two of these creative character type guys, like default creative characters.
Well, Nathan Jones, he would grow find further acclaim in Mad Max Fury Road, yeah?
Wasn't oh, that? That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
He's an actor now.
He's an actor now.
Yeah.
Good for him. But back then, he just looked like normal creative character.
But he was massive.
He's a big dude.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. This was the largest, in terms of size of the competitors, Survivor Series team ever.
Oh, well.
Like, Lesnar looked like an average-sized person in relation to all these other wrestlers.
I know. And there wasn't a lot of mystique left with Brock Lesnar. He was definitely more of a vulnerable Brock Lesnar than we know him now.
I know. And then... A matter of months later, he'd be done.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Matt Morgan, who I think is the one that Jim Cornette swore up and down that he could have been, like, really, really hot stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they just
He was super tall.
Look at those traps.
Wow, Nathan Jones, 6'11".
Those look like Photoshop. 6'11"?
That's what it says.
So he would make Drew McIntyre look small.
IMDb profile.
Oh, my gosh.
Massive.
Matt Morgan and then Brock Lesnar, of course, because it's Team Lesnar. I didn't see any of the like build up to how Lesnar was picking his teammates though.
I think it was strictly based on size.
Yeah, he said, "Hey, WWE stat guy, I want you to get me a sheep."
Yeah, Matt Morgan, 7 feet tall.
Who's? Oh my god, that's weird. It didn't seem like it when I was watching this. Maybe because they were in there with the Big Show.
Could be.
Anyways, immediately before the bell even rings, Bob Holly tries to shoot on somebody.
Yeah, I think it was Lesnar.
Because Bob Holly was upset that Lesnar broke his neck trying to powerbomb or something.
Yeah,
months before, but you know he should have stuck to the script because the ref kicked him out.
Yeah, it was an odd start to the match.
You're out of here, Bob Holly.
DQ'd.
Yeah,
before the bell even rings.
Yeah,
weird.
That's the most Bob Holly thing you could do.
Pretty quickly, there was a pretty steady stream of eliminations.
Have you ever seen any of the Bob Holly shoot interviews? With I think it's RF video.
Mm-mm.
They're hilarious because he just looks like he wants to. He looks so like surly, I guess. You know,
he seems like a ill-tempered individual.
Yeah, right. Like he has the same. Like he looks the exact same.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Phenomenal shape still. That seems very in keeping with him, though. He seems like a very regimented guy.
Yes, he does.
But like you know, he didn't seem like he has a sense of humor at all.
Yeah, none.
He never came off.
This man used to be named Sparky Plug.
Yeah, right.
You think he'd have a sense of humor?
And then like you know, he craps all over the click, and then you go and you watch a Scott Hall shoot interview with the same company or whatever, and same interviewer guy who interviews everybody, and like Scott Hall just like runs him down. Kevin Nash runs him down.
Wow, yeah,
it was great. Anyways, JBL eliminates Bradshaw
eliminates
A-Train with his clothesline from hell. So, bye, Matt Bloom.
Bye, Matt Bloom.
Big Show eliminated. See, this first match, the first two matches actually were like the low points of this entire pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Because this match was, it was like crap, and then boom, 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 elimination, elimination, elimination.
I know, there's a lot of eliminations, and there was a bit of a break in the eliminations, and then at the end, just elimination, elimination, elimination.
Right.
But there were like these first two or three were just
bang, one on top of the other. Big Show eliminates JBL with a choke slam. Back when they booked the choke slam strong, Kurt Angle eliminated Matt Morgan with an angle slam,
and then Angle eliminated Nathan Jones with an ankle lock, and then Lesnar eliminated Kurt Angle with an F5.
That's right.
But then Benoit made Lesnar tap out to the crossface.
So this was after Lesnar. This is kind of blow off ish. Their WrestleMania match was that prior year, 19. And then this was, I think, the last time they really kind of locked horns. Because, I mean, they teased Goldberg Angle. I don't know when Goldberg Lesnar became a thing, but, you know, it was 6 months later it happened at WrestleMania when they both left.
Well, I mean, during this show, they had a bit where Goldberg walks in.
They teased it. That's what I mentioned. Yeah, they teased it.
John Cena got the final elimination. Eliminating.
Nothing ever changes.
Well,
14 years ago.
I know.
Nothing ever changes.
With an AA, back then called an FU.
What do you think that stood for? Demonetized.
I know.
Demonetized. So it was Chris Benoit eliminating Lesnar with a crossface, but then John Cena eliminating Big Show with an FU.
And so we have two sole survivors,
Chris Benoit and John Cena.
Yeah.
Team Kurt Angle / John Cena wins. Chris Benoit gives the baby face, hey, good job. Because he put his hand out and said, be a man. And John Cena was like, you're kind of crazy, aren't you? I can tell. Weird things are going to happen in your future.
Yeah.
Anyways. Next up, we had Shane McMahon and Vince McMahon backstage. For some reason, Shane hates Vince.
Well, they were talking about how they're both fighting the Brothers of Destruction individually.
Well, Vince brought that up. Vince says, you're going to be fighting Kane, and I'm going to be fighting the Undertaker. I'm sorry, Big Evil. And then he says, you know, I forget what he said, but then Shane just said, I hope you get hurt or something like that. He just said, like, he said, all I wish for you is to get hurt or something like that.
Oof.
Like Vince was trying to offer
relate.
Up, a,
yes.
yeah, to relate. And Shane was having none of it. And then Vince walks out in the hallway and Stone Cold comes walking by and they have like a weird Mr. Burns Homer moment in the cabin.
Yeah, they laugh and Stone Cold does his... Yeah.
Yeah. And so, I don't know, I think Stone Cold was laughing at Vince, but Vince didn't really get it.
No.
And then Kevin Owens goes up to Vince and says, are we good? And Vince says, no.
No. Lita versus Molly Holly was next.
Yeah, again. It was okay.
It was decent.
It was decent. Then I had that crap finish. What was the finish? Oh, I have my notes.
Oh, the finish where Molly Holly throws Lita into the turnbuckle after she took the pad off.
Yeah.
And rolled her up after that.
Yeah, I wasn't huge on that. That was kind of crap. Where's my notes?
I know it's funny. You're going for your notes. And then you look over and you're on Twitter.
Don't look at my shit.
You got a problem. You got Twitter addiction, Steve.
Here we go. My note here, decent wrestling crap ending. So whatever you say the ending was, it was crap.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
All right. Moving on. This is a good match.
Did you notice that Kane's pyro almost blew up the ambulance?
I didn't notice that. I have to watch it again. That's
so
great.
So they back up the ambulance, and it's on the ramp, but that's not the final place it's supposed to be. They're going to pull it forward a bit more, I think.
Yeah.
And so they pull it right, it's like the front of it is right over Kane's
pyro. Oh, my
pyro.
God.
And so it goes off, and the guy driving the ambulance backs up after the pyro goes off.
Eey.
Wait for Kane to pass by, and then pulls it up again. If you ever watch it, it's like, oh, gosh.
Dude, good job keeping your bearings in that situation.
I know.
I'd have freaked out.
I'd like, crap my pants.
I'd have ran away. This isn't good.
I know.
No good. Anyways, this is a fun match. That was cool.
Kinda Shane, back in 2003, moved a lot better.
He was actually a decent wrestler.
He was.
He was actually
he
like
He could actually
his...
put on decent matches.
Yeah, I know. It was weird. It was always weird. Like, you're Shane McMahon. Like, you shouldn't be
I mean, part
a
of it, he just
wrestler.
Does crazy stuff.
Yeah, I know, but his fundamentals were sound.
Yeah, I know.
Like, his fundamentals were good. He had good timing. Like, and the thing is, the crazy stuff that he did, so there was that kind of coast-to-coast-ish thing that he did.
Oh, off the ambulance, yeah.
Off the ambulance. That takes some coordination.
Oh, I know.
and some athleticism.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think you'd ever doubt Shane's athleticism.
Right.
The fact that he could do coast to coast at all.
I mean, dude, you got to think about it. Standing on top of that Hell in a Cell and then being able to actually hit the table correctly.
Hand-eye coordination.
I mean, you know, we saw that one game. The guy missed the table.
It wasn't nearly that high up.
Exactly. And, like, that would be me.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I can't figure out where is where. How do you even practice that?
I don't know.
Oh, no, I lost my notes.
Oh, no. Shane put Kane through a table.
Yes.
And then did a top rope elbow.
I mean, I guess that's my only problem with this match is that it's Kane. So it's like this should be a squash match if it's Kane.
But it's also Shane McMahon. He's always been kind of booked like he's overpowered. Yeah, right. There's that great spot where Shane put Kane in the back of that truck and then backed it up, put the pedal to the floor,
mm-hmm.
and sent Kane through like the window.
Oh, that was awesome.
Security kiosk, whatever it was.
That was messed up.
That was great.
Yeah, that was great. All that backstage stuff was fantastic.
And the cameras kept cutting out.
Yeah.
I kept losing the camera feed.
I don't know what that was all about, if that was a shoot or work.
Oh, I think that was a shoot.
Yeah.
And they get back to the arena, start fighting around the ambulance. And there is one shot. So Shane is hitting Kane in the head with the ambulance door.
Oh, man.
That last one was
flush.
That
was brutal.
Kane did not put his hands up.
That was brutal.
You hear the smack of metal against Kane's face. I'm surprised he wasn't concussed.
Dude, that seemed like it would have rattled the brain,
too. That
was
intense.
That was brutal. And they showed replays on it. I'm like, oh, God. I can just imagine what his brain looks like.
He just took it.
Mayor of Knox County.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
We'll find out next May, right?
Yeah. He's getting, that's why he's back, man. He's got to fill those coffers.
Yep.
His war chest.
Yes.
Oh, let's
for
see.
For the home stretch.
Yeah, exactly.
His mayoral run.
He needs to go to Kinko's. I'm sorry, FedEx now. Run off all those flyers. Yeah. Go door to door. Hey, do you vote? I can't do Kane.
More Undertaker.
It just ends up being Undertaker.
More Undertaker. So yeah, Shane does the coast to coast. So the whole setup is there for the Buried Alive match later on. So it was a huge mound of dirt.
Mm-hmm.
So Shane sets up Kane kind of the base of that mound of dirt, climbs to the top of the ambulance, drop kick off it.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing feat.
No, it was great.
But then Kane just hits one tombstone and he wins.
Yeah, but it was on concrete.
Yeah, I know.
But there was a couple. There was one bump that Shane took, and I was like, how did he not just... Because it didn't look like he took that much. But it was on the concrete, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, my God, how did he not just smack the back of his head?
I remember that.
That's concrete.
I know.
Oh, God. Know. Some of that stuff hurts.
Yeah, I remember that, too.
So, yeah, he gets tombstone, puts in the ambulance. The ambulance starts to very slowly drive away.
Well, probably his tires are melted from being running to Kane's pyro.
Yeah, symbolizing the match is over. Kane wins.
Kane wins.
Good for him.
Congratulations, Kane.
Good job, Kane.
Next.
Good luck in the Knox County thing. I know he doesn't like taxes. I mean, nobody likes taxes, but they're kind of necessary.
They're necessary if you want things like roads, you know, and public schools. Services and such, yes.
You don't have to poop in a ditch anymore.
I know.
Or chamber pot.
Yep.
Anyways, next up, we had a Brock Lesnar interview.
He was actually decent on the mic.
Yeah, he was okay on the mic. It's just odd seeing him get irked by Josh Matthews. Josh Matthews got under his skin because he was like, you know, you lost in your match. I didn't lose. And he's like, well, you tapped out.
Said, I didn't tap out.
Like, to see Josh Matthews give Goldberg crap, like he's just some Joe on the street.
Lesnar.
I'm sorry, Lesnar. What did I say, Joe?
No, Goldberg.
Goldberg, Lesnar, whatever. Give Lesnar crap as if Lesnar couldn't just literally eat him on the spot.
I know.
You know. Lesnar, I feel, wasn't as red or purple.
No, he wasn't.
You know?
That must have come with old age.
I guess so.
So anyways, at the conclusion of this interview, Goldberg comes into frame. So at the time,
why is Kraken Goldberg?
Yeah, they're both champions on their respective brands at that time.
Yeah.
And setting the stage for WrestleMania 20,
mm-hmm.
when they would both say goodbye to WWE.
Again, kind of crazy, like, you know, dream match situation here. And we saw it at 20, and then, of course, we saw it again last year, this year. And but then by the next WrestleMania, JBL and Triple H were the champions of the respective brands.
I wonder what.
Yeah, that's weird.
I wonder at what point Goldberg and Lesnar went to Vince or whomever, said, I'm done. Don't want to be here anymore. Did it happen as soon as this? So they're already starting to lay the groundwork? Or were they doing this thinking that there'd be some sort of champion versus champion match at Mania?
Maybe. Ooh, good question.
I don't know.
Very good question. I don't know either. Probably some answers out there.
No way Eddie was champion at WrestleMania 20. Because at the end of the show, Benoit won.
Oh, I'm thinking of 21. I'm thinking of the next year. You're right.
Yeah.
And but it was still Triple H.
Yeah.
Triple H and Eddie. Yeah, you're right.
Going into WrestleMania.
Who did Eddie 20. Fight at 20? I'm sorry, at 20.
Let me find out.
Eddie fought, I don't know. That's kind of crazy, though. Yeah, Eddie. Because he was in a tag match. He lost in a tag match against the Basham brothers in this one. It was only November.
Yeah.
And then by the following April.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, okay. So there's some, okay. Next up, we had a segment with Mark Cuban.
Yeah, Jonathan Coachman walks out to the ring with a neck brace on, drops a promo, notices Mark Cuban, owner of Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
Sitting ringside.
Giant 10-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that he doesn't do that with his hair anymore.
I know.
Because for the longest time, he looked like the biggest goofball.
Mm-hmm.
Like he, and he, his posture and the way he's like sort of a, like his mouth is always open. And it's like his hair is like right here. And he's like, he just looks like a snotty 10-year-old, but he's like a billionaire.
Yeah, he is. Coachman interviews him ringside.
He might be our freaking president.
What, is he going to run for president?
There's talk about it.
Mm.
But he's, if he runs, he says if he runs, he's going to be an independent. That's not, you're not going to get anywhere.
No. So Eric Bischoff comes out because Cuban was running him down.
Mm-hmm.
And Bischoff gets in the ring and says, well, why don't you come say that stuff to my face?
Yeah.
Cuban. Jumps the barricade,
mm-hmm.
gets in the ring, shoves Bischoff.
Shoves the crap out of him.
And then Randy Orton comes in, RKOs Mark Cuban.
Hey, that was a good sell job.
It was.
He really sold that thing.
Good really
job.
Did.
Good job, future president Mark Cuban. All these days, the presidency always goes through WWE, dude.
Apparently.
Rock, Cuban, Trump. I wouldn't mind Mark Cuban as president. I think he'd be smart.
I don't know
guy.
Anything about his politics.
Yeah, me neither, but I can't believe that he'd be like crazy conservative guy. I know he'd like probably be better than what we have. Let's see here. Next up, Triple H is hanging out with Evolution.
Yeah,
he's
they're
about
partying
to get some
backstage.
Oral sex.
Yeah.
They're with, it's so uncomfortable. Like Batista, you could literally look at Batista and see he's uncomfortable. Triple H seems to be completely happy in his circuit. He's got like Dirty Ric Flair is over here.
Yeah, Ric Flair is wondering why there's not twice as many women in the room.
Uncomfortable Batista's over here. Triple H, like the women are like starting to touch him. He's got like three girls with him. And then they like they're starting to take off his shirt.
Yeah.
Like he's going to have sex right there in front of everybody, which is uncomfortable.
It's very uncomfortable.
It's a private situation.
It really is.
Right.
Like I don't want a camera back there to see that.
Ric Flair says, hold on, girls. He can't get weak knees yet.
Yeah.
He's got a match.
Did he volunteer himself?
I mean, maybe. I don't know. It was all just really and then Randy.
I mean, after watching that Ric Flair 30 for 30 and seeing this scene, well, I mean, granted, I know this scene was for the cameras.
Yeah, sure.
But I can't help but thinking Ric Flair literally thought, I've done this like times three.
Oh, I know.
For
yeah,
real.
For real.
Like in Ric Flair's mind, that's what's playing out.
Yeah, I know. Like, this is silly what we're doing here because I've done it for real, like, super hardcore.
Exactly.
Like, the thing that got me about that documentary was the fact that when he wouldn't falicopter, he'd be fully erect when he would expose himself to the other wrestlers. Like, that's an extra layer of just messed up. Who the heck fluffs himself just to show them off?
I don't know.
It's weird,
it's
man.
Really weird.
It's weird. Anyways, Triple H is about to get some oral sex. And Ric Flair says, stop doing that because you have a match.
Yeah.
Not stop doing that because nobody really wants to see that.
Yeah.
Stop doing that because you have a match.
Wasn't he married?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
At the time? Not stop doing that because you're a married man.
No, that would never come out of
Ric. Oh, I know that.
I had sex with probably 10,000 women. You were married the entire time. Anyways. Batista didn't say a word during the entire thing.
No, but Randy Orton comes in bragging
Lassie comes in bragging
about what he did to...
Hey, guys.
To Mark Cuban.
And as he walks in, like, the girl's, like, pinches nipples. Again, kind of gross.
Yeah.
It
was all a bit too much.
It was just way too much. I think that was my main problem with Evolution. I was so kind of grossed out with their general packaging that I couldn't appreciate that there was like a bunch of champions.
Oh, I know. I feel the same way.
Because like when they come out, they show the video package of them in a limo. And it was just them and women and stuff. And it's like, you know,
the only person that really probably was enjoying himself the entire time was Ric Flair.
Like, enjoying himself, yeah. I know. Like, Triple H, you know he's all business.
Yeah.
You know? But he gets into it when the cameras are on.
Yeah, of course.
Like, he does
He'll
his
play
best.
His role, yes.
He doesn't get uncomfortable because he knows, hey, this is I gotta give 110% to this.
Yes.
Batista's like, dude, I just want to be acting right now.
I know. And Flair's like, let's do more.
Yeah, Flair's like, turn the cameras off, let's get this going. Anyways,
next,
the Basham brothers, Right Said Fred.
That's versus Los Guerreros.
Yeah, they were great.
Yeah, they were.
Not sure about the Basham brothers. They were some form of tag champions. I guess SmackDown tag champions or tag, whatever they were.
I don't know. It wasn't much of a match.
They had,
I mean, it was entertaining and all, but
they had Linda Miles,
short,
who at this point went by Shaniqua as some sort of dominatrix type. I did a little research on her because she looked like a million bucks.
Yeah, she did. She looked great.
She looked great. And there's some conflicting info about.
This is only seven. This is the second shortest match in the card. It's only 7.5 minutes.
Yeah, that sounds right.
It's a bummer. It would have been nice to see more of Los Guerreros do their thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, continue.
Oh, no, I don't know. I did a little bit of research on Linda Miles and why she wasn't really around that long. And, there was one shoot interview, and I don't even know who it was. Teddy Long said she seemed cool, but he didn't really know her that well. And then somebody else said that I guess she had some heat in the back because she was, you know, not the nicest person. Hmm. But you never know.
Yeah.
You know, back then, oh, she's being difficult because she's not, like, going into Vince's office and doing what he wants. Anyways, the next note I have is RVD is insanely over.
You must be getting to Team Austin versus Team Bischoff.
Yeah. Team Bischoff. So if Team Bischoff won, Austin would be fired.
No, he'd have to retire.
He'd have to retire. What were the circumstances of Team Bischoff lost?
I didn't gather any fallout from that other than just they lost.
All right.
Do you notice that Scott Steiner was limping all over the place?
Scott Steiner, that was one of my notes. Scott Steiner. Oh, yeah. Steiner just doesn't fit in here. That was what I said. He didn't fit in the WWE. You could tell that this dude was just cut from his own cloth.
Yes.
At this point, especially. But ever since he started, it's crazy. Like, his transformation to Big Papa Pump was so complete. He could never have gone back to just regular Scott Steiner as the Steiner Brothers guy, which is crazy. But I just feel like his character had no place in WWE as it was. Like, you have to follow a certain. He was best doing, like, shoot promos where he'd come out there. You know nobody's going to discipline him.
Oh, I know.
And he starts going off on Ric Flair when he's in a program with, like, Sid.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, I know.
And he starts talking about having sex with all the wrestlers' wives. That's when he was best.
Yeah.
You can't do that in the WWE. You can't come out there if you're in a program with Triple H and say, you know, Kurt Angle, I'm going to bed your wife later on in the locker room. Like, dude, you're in a program with Triple H. You know, then he puts you in a headlock.
Yeah.
That doesn't fly in the WWE because Vince will just fire you. And on top of that, he's limping around.
Yeah. His in-ring abilities were severely compromised.
Yeah.
At this point, because, like, even we'd put who do you put in the Steiner recliner? I don't remember. Yeah. There was zero torque on it.
Right.
Zero.
Right.
And he's eliminated really quickly by Booker T.
Yeah. RVD was insanely over, though. So this was Team Bischoff. Team Bischoff was, oh, you have it.
Jericho, Mark Henry.
Mark Henry had on, like, it was like sort of an off-white singlet.
Yeah.
You know, he always wore singlets. But off-white was not good for him because either he sweat or got under a garden hose before he came out because, like, the middle section of his back was just all sweat, and then it gave him, like, a little wet wedgie going up into his butt, and it was just unflattering. Not good.
Christian, Randy Orton, Scott Steiner.
Yeah, Christian already looked like Jobber Guy.
Team Austin was Booker T, Dudley Boyz, RVD, and Shawn Michaels.
HBK, yeah.
So, as I mentioned, Booker T eliminated Scott Steiner pretty quickly. And then Mark Henry eliminates Booker T pretty quickly after that. There's a cool spot where Mark Henry is eliminated by a 3D from the Dudley Boyz, followed up quickly by a five-star frog splash.
Oh, that was fun because then they all got on each other to pin Mark Henry. Yeah, I love when they book strong guys like that strong.
I know. Orton eliminates RVD with an RKO.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jericho eliminated D-Von with a sling blade.
Hey.
I was right, wasn't I?
Okay. So, yes, you are correct. That was a good-looking sling blade because not just Jericho, but the way it was sold. D-Von just didn't go down to the ground. He jumped into along with Jericho's momentum. And then one of our friendos showed a Tanahashi.
A couple of them, yeah.
I think with Kota Ibushi.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that one during this last match.
It wasn't during the last match.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It might have been during their G1 match.
So the trick to a sling blade is whoever's selling it has to sell the living crap out of it for it to be cool. Nobody sells it anymore. Nobody sells it so it looks good.
Yeah, it could be.
So that's my problem with it.
Well, I feel like also Jericho and Tanahashi, when he does it, he actually holds on to whoever's taking it as they go down a little bit.
Yeah.
Whereas Balor and Rollins just kind of wrap their arms a little bit to indicate, all right, you should start falling to the mat.
Right. They barely even touch the guy. Oh, yeah. Rollins does that. It's so annoying. Anyway.
Anyways. So then Bubba is eliminated after a low blow. So that leaves HBK as sole member of Team Austin taking on Christian, Jericho, and Orton.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly after, Christian's eliminated with Sweet Chin Music.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a lot of Sweet Chin Music.
Oh, sorry. Before that, HBK's busted open, bleeding everywhere.
It looked like he had like a, not just like a 22, like a shotgun blast to the head.
Everywhere. HBK must have just licked his chops coming back, knowing that he could finally bleed all the time.
I know.
Because he bled so much when he came back.
It was a lot of blood. Yeah, every match, man. Like, he literally was the reason they stopped bleeding. Vince stopped letting him do it. Him and Jericho.
Yeah.
Was the reason.
During the Vince-Undertaker match, did you time how long it took Vince to start bleeding?
Oh, it was like within...
It was one punch.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one punch, yeah. So however many seconds it took for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that was a lot of blood.
That was a ton. Yeah. It was a ton on the outside. So anyways, HBK's bleeding all over the place. He pins Christian after some Sweet Chin Music.
Yeah, everybody he came into contact with at that point was painted with red.
I know.
You know, it was gross.
It was a ton of blood.
Yeah.
He rolls up Jericho, and then Jericho responds with a chair shot to HBK's head.
Oh, yeah, that was nasty.
He got his hand up.
Yeah.
And then the finish of this match was tons of fun. Orton goes up to the top rope for a crossbody. HBK gets out of the way. Ref bump.
Yeah, that was good. Oh, that ref took, man, that crossbody was brutal.
Yeah. HBK starts tuning up the band for Sweet Chin Music. Bischoff comes in and gives HBK a kick to the ribs.
So weak, dude.
You know, because Bischoff's supposed to be a black belt and something.
Yeah, karate or some crap like that.
Austin gets in the ring and stuns the heck out of Orton. That's a fantastic sell.
Yeah, and his legs glitched onto the ropes.
Yeah,
too.
I know.
They're like just draped up on the ropes.
So good. Austin and Bischoff start brawling up the ramp.
Mm-hmm.
Batista sneaks in, powerbomb HBK.
Yeah.
Orton covers him for the pin. Team Bischoff wins. Austin has to retire.
Yeah.
Austin stands at the top of the ramp, just shocked, distracted by Bischoff.
Mm-hmm.
Can't keep his eyes on the prize.
Yeah.
So and then he comes back to the ring, helps up HBK. HBK keeps saying, "I'm sorry, I'm sorry."
That was a great moment.
Covered in blood.
Yeah.
Shake hands. Austin kind of helps him out of the ring towards the back. Austin comes back out, drops a promo saying goodbye.
Yeah. And then Coachman comes out.
With security.
So you know he's going to get murdered.
Mm-hmm.
He comes out singing, "Na, na, na, na," that crap. Gets in there, starts laying in a stone cold saying, you know, "Get out of here. You're retired. You're done. Nobody's ever going to see you again. You're forever gone from the WWE." And then Stone Cold, with nothing left to lose, destroys security and murders Jonathan Coachman in the ring.
Takes his neck brace off, stuns him.
Yeah, that was great.
Fantastic. Next, American Badass Undertaker.
No, wait. Big Evil Undertaker.
Isn't that American Badass?
No, there is a difference. I looked this up.
What's the difference?
Because I was like, wait a second. Why is he not coming out to Kid Rock or Limp Bizkit?
Yeah, that theme song he came out to during this show was awful.
Why is he not on a motorcycle?
Okay.
There is a mild difference.
What's the difference?
Short hair, heel. When he went heel is when he started being Dead Man Inc. Big Evil.
Wait, he was a heel in this match?
So when he first started being Dead Man Inc. Big Evil, it was when he turned heel.
All right.
At this point, I guess he was a face, but I don't really know. I mean, I guess he was working at face. And then he saw he didn't come out on his motorcycle anymore.
Yeah, no.
Because that's a face thing to do.
I guess so.
And he didn't come out to Limp Bizkit.
Well, Eric Bischoff didn't think so. He thought motorcycles were cool.
Yeah.
So he won. But I guess so. Yeah, I guess you can say motorcycles are a face thing if people think they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they are cool. I mean, they're kind of cool.
Yeah.
You know, but Bischoff thinks they're really
cool. Yeah, Bischoff thinks they're the coolest.
Right, exactly. He wants to be in a biker gang.
Apparently.
Do you think you ever realized that?
Do you think you ever rode a motorcycle?
No, do you think you ever found like a crew, like a club, a motorcycle club? I'm going to tweet at him.
Yeah.
Can people out there tweet at Eric Bischoff, say, did you ever find a motorcycle club
some
to
other,
ride with?
Some other middle-aged men that ride their motorcycles in pleated jeans.
Right. Leather jacket.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I like people to realize their dreams.
Oh, I do
I'm
too.
I'm not dogging them.
No, people should be happy.
Yeah, totally. You know, it's like if you found a band to play in.
Yeah, it'd make me happy.
That'd make you happy. It'd be cool. Jam out on the weekends.
Yeah, it'd be fun.
You know, if I found a Federation Starship to join the crew of.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be my dream. I want to be in Star Trek.
Anyways. You want to go on the holodeck?
Yeah, well, that's basically the only reason. I want to load up Barclays' program. Hit up Counselor Troy. Anyways,
this match starts. Vince bleeds immediately and bleeds
and it's
a ton.
Profusely.
A ton.
It's so much blood.
At the point, he's out on the ring mat on the outside, and there's two puddles of blood at least that large.
Oh, it's huge.
It's disgusting.
It's really gross. Undertaker freaking nailed Vince in the head with a shovel at one point. He literally walked over to the buried alive part, like where the actual grave is dug.
Yeah.
Got the shovel from that.
Back to the ring, only to smack Vince across the face with the shovel.
That was a nasty
shot.
It
was flush.
Yeah, it was nasty.
Like the whole match, Undertaker was dominating Vince, just beating the hell out
of
him.
Oh, yeah, it was the entire match.
Just beating the hell
out of
him.
And then you look, like afterwards, they cut to Cole and Taz, and there's like blood smears all over their desk.
Yeah, because Undertaker threw Vince over their announce table.
That was gross.
It was nasty. Too much blood.
Yeah.
So the finish of Undertaker drag Vince up to the gravesite. He's getting ready to put Vince in the hole,
mm-hmm.
in the pit.
Mm-hmm.
Vince low blows him, hits him with the shovel. Undertaker goes in the pit. Undertaker pulls Vince in with him. He goes up to the front loader.
Yeah.
Dumps some dirt on it, and that thing just blows up.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of fire coming out of it.
That was weird.
But it was Kane. Mm-hmm. Kane did it.
Yeah.
Kane was there. Kane knocks Undertaker into the pit. Vince goes up, dumps dirt on him. Vince wins. Undertaker has to retire.
Undertaker.
But he came back for WrestleMania 20 because he fought Kane.
But he came back as
Dead Man. Well,
not Dead Man. Dead Man Inc.
No, Dead Man.
Not Big Evil.
The Phenom.
Actual Undertaker. Oh, one note I forgot to mention here. This was Steiner, the Team Angle. I'm sorry, Team Bischoff, Team Austin.
Was this Steiner's last match?
Second to last match. He was actually in the next year's Royal Rumble. Lasted 6 minutes. And then he wasn't seen again because he was injured. And they didn't release him until like August.
Wow.
So he was sitting there collecting paychecks, doing nothing till August. And then they released him finally. You know, I don't think we have a place for Scott here. Anyway,
his tenure in WWE didn't last very long then.
No, it didn't.
About a year.
So he signed in 2002.
Because he faced Triple H at Rumble 2003, right?
It was at Survivor Series 2002 that he made his debut. And this was Survivor Series 2003. And then he was gone before Survivor Series 2004.
All right.
So, yeah. A little less than 2 years.
Main event time. Triple H versus Goldberg.
Triple H
with the bicycle shorts is always weird to me. Because I looked, they're not one piece.
Yeah, I know.
He's got the bicycle shorts underneath his trunks.
Yeah, I know. Why didn't he just wear tights?
I don't know.
He used to wear tights. He looked great in them.
I know.
Like, I don't know why he would do that.
I don't know either.
It was really
goofy.
It was
for his quads, right?
Well, you'd think so, but couldn't he do that for, like, with tights?
Yeah, you'd think so. I don't know.
Because, man, the bike shorts are goofy.
Yeah.
So goofy.
Yeah, I don't understand either.
Anyways.
There's tons of blood.
Yeah,
in the
just
ring
lots
at this
of
point.
Blood.
There's blood everywhere.
Little McMahon HBK DNA babies running around.
It is too much. And the opening or the video package that preceded this match, Triple H issued a bounty for Goldberg. And Batista collected on this bounty by powerbombing Goldberg and then breaking his ankle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
By putting a chair in it, over it, jumping off the top rope, stomping on it.
Yeah.
Injuring Goldberg's ankle, and Goldberg sold that injury throughout the match. It was wrapped up. It was Triple H's sole focus
mm-hmm.
throughout the match, which made the match fairly one-dimensional.
Yeah, but with Goldberg, you need to do that.
Oh, I understand that.
You have to do something like that because he's not going to give you. He's such a clumsy wrestler.
Oh,
dude.
I know.
He was not a good wrestler. And Triple H can bring people to good matches if he wants to. And I honestly think that Triple H is trying his darndest to make Goldberg into a moneymaker, you know?
Well, he lost to him twice, so.
Yeah, exactly. I think didn't he lose to Scott Steiner at some point? Like, Triple H was trying his best to make some moneymakers, you know?
No, he beat Scott Steiner. They had that match at Rumble 2003.
They fought like twice, though, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
I think.
I just know about the title match.
Yeah, I don't know. I know they had like an arm wrestling contest at one point. And then I remember Steiner debated Chris Novitzky, a legit Harvard graduate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
On like the Iraq War or something. Something like that. It was weird. They were just throwing. There was no identity in the WWE at this point. It was just bleed a lot.
Bleed a lot.
And then maybe be kind of salacious, but focus all that stuff on Vince.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, Goldberg's selling that leg injury. Triple H is attacking the bandaged leg. Triple H goes for a figure four. Goldberg kicks him off. Right into Earl Hebner. Ref bump.
You know, I kind of appreciate, though, that the Triple H-Earl Hebner feud lasted, like, years. Like, that went back to, like, 2000 when Triple H was bullying Earl Hebner and reversing to, I think it was Hebner. I don't know. Maybe it wasn't. The Jericho.
The Jericho thing. Match.
Might have been Kyoto. But yeah, like him and Hebner, like any time we watch a Triple H era freaking Ruthless Aggression, Late Attitude era match, and Earl Hebner's the ref, which is like always, they're always like yelling at each other.
Yeah. Well, in this case, he dropped an elbow on Earl.
Yeah.
So ref's out. Flair throws Triple H some brass knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H hits Goldberg with a brass knuckle covered fist.
Yeah.
Goldberg kicks out at two, and at that point, after that moment, Triple H doesn't even get up. Just drops an elbow on Earl.
Yeah.
Knocks him out again. Triple H gets a sledgehammer. Goldberg gets away from him. Evolution comes to the ring. Goldberg fends them all off with a sledgehammer.
Mm-hmm. Goldberg thinks about using sledgehammer on Triple H. Decides against it.
Spear.
Says, I don't need a sledgehammer when I have a jackhammer.
He has a spear. He has a jackhammer. Pin. Goldberg retains the World Heavyweight Championship.
Kind of weird. How, like, according to Goldberg, he's like, you know, it didn't turn out the way I wanted it to. They made you world champion.
I know. Maybe it just means in terms of getting over the fans or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that could be. I mean, hindsight's 2020.
Yeah.
In the moment, like, you probably just don't appreciate what's going on and stuff, but
I'm sure it was probably fairly tumultuous back then.
Mm-hmm, yeah, I imagine so, too. Again, it was just kind of weird, like, I don't know. Every time we watch one of these shows, I feel like the brand split was totally necessary when they did it, and then very quickly became completely unnecessary.
Yeah.
But then it lasted for the longest time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like interesting 8 years. What could have happened if everybody for WCW would have come over at the same time.
Yeah, and there's that too, yeah.
And would have carried, the whole thing would have carried a lot more weight. They would have needed to do the weird alliance thing.
Right, right, right.
Just kind of bolster the ranks of the invading side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you want to do next? I mean, we don't have to announce it here, but we can talk about it a little
bit.
Yeah,
December.
We can finally see if we want to put December to Dismember up on.
Okay. Yeah, we should do that.
Let's try to find like three Christmas themed things that we can do.
Okay.
Oh yeah, hey, it'll be fun. Do they have it?
What
wasn't the Freebirds von Erich?
That Star Wars, whatever.
Wasn't that like on Christmas Eve or something, or Christmas Day? I don't know.
Maybe.
No, no, no. We'll find three things that we'll put up for vote for our $10 and up patrons. If you guys want to participate in voting for the next Going In Raw View, we're at the Patreon, patreon.com/Steven Larson, at the $10 a month mark. You can vote. We'll figure something out and put it up.
Yeah.
For the Christmas.
Yes.
All right. Here Unless, wait, let's right Clash of Champions. Is that the December pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
Man, we should put three of those awesome TBS Clash of the Champions.
Well, we can offer up two and then... The friendos have to offer up one of their own.
Yeah, one of their own awesome TBS. But you have to say, hey, it's got to be a TBS Clash of the Champions.
Be a TBS Clash of Champions.
Exactly. Some on the network took on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Clash of Champions 4, Seasons Beatings.
Oh, look at that.
December 7th. Main event, Ric Flair and Barry Windham took on the Midnight Express.
Oh, man.
You got Road Warrior Animal against Dusty Rhodes, Ivan Koloff versus Paul Jones, Dr. Death Steve Williams versus the Italian Stallion.
Oh, man, I don't even know any of these people. It's
Fantastics versus Eddie Gilbert and Ron Simmons. Seasons Beatings.
That sounds amazing. Like they're all holiday themed. The next one is Valentine's Day, something or another.
That seems to be the only one that actually took place in December, though. Seasons Beatings it is. That's one of them.
All right. Well, that'll be one of them.
Clash Champions 4.
Yeah. We'll figure out the rest and let the patrons know. Thanks for watching. Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Till next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.